Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, January 18, 2018. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, Cape Air Answers SkyWest Appeal. Provider Questions ADM's Remarkable Involvement in Process. By Jalen Cook, Herald and Review, Decatur. Cape Air is taking issue with Archer Daniels Midland Company's remarkable involvement in the Decatur Park District's search for the community's next air service provider, including the vote of a park board member who is also an ADM employee. The Federal Department of Transportation awarded Cape Air a 2-year contract with Decatur Airport to offer flights to St. Louis and Chicago. The Park District and ADM had backed another airline, SkyWest, which planned to offer jet service to Chicago. SkyWest appealed the decision on January 8th, and Massachusetts-based Cape Air responded Tuesday by noting its issues with ADM's role in the Park Board's decision to support SkyWest. The board initially voted 3-2 to support Cape Air on November 3rd, but one member changed his mind 2 weeks later, after ADM promised the Park District $100,000 for airport improvements and 5,000 passengers a year if SkyWest were chosen. Commissioner Chris Riley, a longtime Park Board member who supported SkyWest in both votes, is also ADM's Director of Government Relations. If Riley had recused himself, given ADM's active involvement in this matter and expressed vested interest in the outcome, Cape Air said, the second vote would have been a tie. The only vote favoring SkyWest seems to have been hopelessly conflicted. Cape Air wrote in the 4-page filing, which cited several Herald and Review articles, under these extraordinary circumstances, we certainly hope the DOT questions the legitimacy of the board's letter recommending SkyWest. The Department of Transportation chooses Decatur's airline because its air service is subsidized through the Federal Essential Air Service Program. The Park District manages the airport and makes recommendations about the provider. Riley declined to comment Wednesday. In response to questions, ADM spokeswoman Jackie Anderson released the following statement. ADM has a strong interest in the success of the Decatur community, where our North America headquarters has been located for nearly 50 years. We think that Decatur would be best served with safe, reliable jet service, which could spur economic development and, in turn, help local employers attract and retain critical talent. Representatives of the Utah-based SkyWest did not respond to requests for comment on Wednesday. Andrew W. Boney, Senior Vice President of Planning for Cape Air, said the airline filed the document in response to SkyWest's petition, and also to bring attention to the irregular process leading up to the Park District's recommendation of SkyWest. He referred a reporter to the document in response to other questions. In its appeal to the federal department, SkyWest argued that Cape Air did not have community support, citing the Park District's November 15th letter recommending SkyWest. Cape Air responded in its filing that the federal department should deny SkyWest's petition because of the extraordinary circumstances that led up to the Park District changing its recommendation. The board had sent a letter November 3rd to the department that recommended Cape Air. Commissioners heard on November 15th from ADM and other local businesses that favored SkyWest's jet service proposal, causing Commissioner Chris Harrison to change his vote and support SkyWest. Despite that, the Department of Transportation chose Cape Air on December 21st, saying SkyWest would have cost $700,000 more in federal subsidies. Riley previously told the Herald and Review that he felt no conflict in supporting the same air service provider that his employer preferred because he personally wanted to bring jet service to Decatur. He did recuse himself from a vote at the following meeting to accept $100,000 from ADM for airport improvements. The company has said it would not provide the money if SkyWest does not become the air service provider. Cape Air said ADM has not responded to its attempts to reach out and explain its proposal, which it says would be helpful to the agribusiness giant's transportation needs, in part because of its interline baggage and ticketing agreements that allow passengers to transfer to connecting flights more easily. AirChoice One, which has provided service at Decatur Airport since late 2009, does not have ticketing and baggage agreements with larger airlines. The SkyWest petition document is available for download on the federal website regulations.gov, where the file appears to be named ADM Outline. Cape Air noted the petition's curious file name in its response to the federal department. ADM and SkyWest representatives have not responded to questions about why the document would appear that way. Cape Air also argued that subsidizing SkyWest would be a significant burden to taxpayers, and that SkyWest did not follow the federal department's essential air service selection criteria by omitting a marketing plan in its initial proposal to take over service at Decatur Airport. Anyone who wants to support or oppose the SkyWest petition can make a comment to the federal department by January 18th. Park District Executive Director Bill Clevenger said the district has said all it will say regarding the EAS process and will await the Department of Transportation's final decision. The board took two actions, and they forwarded all of that information to Washington, D.C., he said. That's where the process is right now. Unless the federal department says otherwise, Cape Air will begin service at Decatur Airport on February 14th. Governor candidates spend $28 million in 3 months. Study finds $9 of every $10 spent is by Rauner or Pritzker. By John O'Connor, Associated Press, Springfield. The race for Illinois governor cost more than $28 million just in the last 3 months of 2017 for the November 2018 election. Campaign finance disclosures filed this week show $9 of every $10 was spent by just two candidates, Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and the leading Democratic challenger, Chicago businessman J.B. Pritzker. That's nearly as much as the $30 million spent in the first 9 months of 2017 in a race that could easily surpass the $112 million spent in the Prairie State 4 years ago, and could approach the national record. Rauner, whose first term has been marked by a record-long budget stalemate with Democratic-controlled legislature that ended last summer, drew right-wing ire last fall when he signed a law providing state health insurance and Medicaid coverage for abortions. Rauner reported raising $2.9 million in the last quarter of 2017. His campaign spent $12.8 million and had a whopping $55.6 million in the bank. Pritzker, an heir to the Hyatt Hotel franchise and among the world's wealthiest people, reported raising $21 million and spending $13.3 million, with nearly $8 million on hand. The 2014 race, in which Rauner beat incumbent Democratic Governor Pat Quinn, cost $112 million. The national record was set in the 2010 California contest, in which the price tag for ex-Governor Jerry Brown to reclaim the post over businesswoman Meg Whitman was $280 million. State Representative Jean Ives, a Wheaton Republican who didn't join the gubernatorial race until November 15th, reported raising $434,000, spending $39,000, and with cash to start, had $662,000 in the bank. State Senator Daniel Biss, an Evanston Democrat whose campaign has decried big money self-funders such as Pritzker, raised $1.1 million and ended 2017 with $3.1 million. Another wealthy businessman, Chris Kennedy, raised $1 million and had $737,000 on hand. Educator Bob Diber of Marine, anti-violence activist T.O. Hardiman of Calumet City, and physician Robert Marshall of Burr Ridge are also seeking the Democratic nomination. On a smaller scale, the race for Attorney General to fill the seat being vacated by Democrat Lisa Madigan is heating up. Eight candidates are seeking the Democratic nomination for Attorney General, including former Governor Quinn, and they're putting up money to get it. Each of the Democrats, individually, has more on hand than the combined total for the GOP candidates, Erica Herold and Gary Grasso. Senator Kwame Raoul of Chicago leads the pack, raising $782,000, spending $109,000, and finishing the quarter with just under $1.1 million. Highwood Democratic Representative Scott Drury collected $506,000 and finished with $732,000. Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering drew $631,000 and had $574,000 on hand. Assistant U.S. Attorney Sharon Fairley took in $495,000 and had $388,000 in the bank. And lawyer and educational administrator Jesse Ruiz raised $549,000 and closed the period with $355,000. Quinn started the period with $232,000, but raised only $79,000 in the last 3 months, leaving $279,000 on hand. Lawyers Aaron Goldstein and Renato Mariotti are also running. On the GOP side, Harold, a lawyer and former Miss America, had $162,000 on hand after raising $135,000. Grasso, a DuPage County board member, filed disclosure papers for Attorney General last week. Correction. The Maroa Fire Department also assisted Macon County Sheriff's deputies at the scene of a two-vehicle crash on U.S. 51 at Wise Road on Tuesday morning. The department was omitted in Two Injured in Crash on U.S. 51 on page A3 of Wednesday's Herald and Review. Clarification. City officials and organizers of the Decatur celebration say they will find ways to cut costs associated with the 33-year-old event's reliance on city services. The commitment was unclear in the story Celebration Fence Gets Council Okay in Wednesday's Herald and Review. This week at heraldreview.com/calendar. Today, combating mental health stigmas in the Black community. 6 to 8 p.m. Doherty's Pub and Pins. Free. Friday, hunter safety classes. 6 to 10 p.m. Rock Springs Conservation Area. 10 hours. Pre-register. Saturday, explore the art of quilling. 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. University of Illinois Extension. Clinton. $5 for 4-H members and $10 for non-members. Local and state. Former governor backs right to sue. Thompson, Thoreau support request for trial on claims against normal officers. By Edith Brady Looney, Herald and Review News Service, Springfield. Former Governor Jim Thompson and best-selling crime author Scott Thoreau are among a dozen former prosecutors who have filed a brief with the Illinois Supreme Court supporting Alan Beeman's efforts to sue three former Normal police officers and the town over his wrongful conviction for murder. In addition to Thompson and Thoreau, the list of high-profile lawyers includes those who served as a U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, director of the Illinois State Police, Illinois Attorney General, and prosecutors in the federal and Cook County court system. The brief, known as amici curiae, or Friends of the Court, is typically filed by a group or person not directly connected to the case, but having a strong interest in the matter. The amicus brief asks the Supreme Court to grant Beeman's request for a trial on his claims that former Normal police detectives Tim Friesmeier, Frank Zayas, and Dave Warner conspired to wrongfully accuse him of the 1993 strangulation death of Jennifer Lockmiller. Beeman served more than 12 years of a 50-year sentence before the Illinois Supreme Court reversed his murder conviction in 2008. Later, he received a certificate of innocence from the state and a pardon from former Governor Pat Quinn. In a rare move in December, the Supreme Court reversed its decision not to review a Fourth District appellate ruling in Beeman's case. the appellate court ruled in favor of the former officers and the town in an opinion that defined the role police play in decisions by the state to prosecute a person for a crime. The decision by the experienced prosecutors to submit the arguments on Beeman's behalf shows the case presents important issues of accountability in our criminal justice system, said Stephen Art, the lawyer who filed the brief on behalf of the former prosecutors. Beeman, now married and raising a family in Rockford, said the lawyer's Supreme Court filing opens a public dialogue on the issue of accountability of police officers. "It's encouraging to me we're finally starting to talk about this issue. We're trying to develop this into what has the potential to restore the public's faith in law enforcement," said Beeman. Thomas D. Ciani, lawyer for Normal and its former officers, said he had no comment on the recent filings. In their argument in support of Beeman, the former prosecutors blame Beeman's conviction on a corruption of the criminal process in which police officers participating in his prosecution abandoned their role as unbiased investigators and pursued Beeman at all costs, suppressing important evidence about an alternative perpetrator. Lawsuits alleging malicious prosecutions, like the one filed by Beeman, help to prevent injustice and ensure proper functioning of the criminal justice system, the prosecutors argue in their brief. Normal police doggedly pursued Beeman despite their knowledge of a second viable suspect, a violent man romantically involved with the victim who also sold her drugs, according to the brief that includes support by Tyrone Fahner, who once served as Illinois Attorney General. The second suspect's evasion of questions about his possible involvement in Locke Miller's death continued during Beeman's civil lawsuit, in which he invoked his Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself, according to the amicus brief. In a separate brief, Beeman's lawyers called his wrongful conviction a stain on the history of Illinois. Friesmeier became fixated on Beeman as a suspect early on in the investigation, to the inclusion of other possible perpetrators, according to the brief. The defense also argues that Friesmeier's alleged manipulation of data related to the drive time between Beeman's home in Rockford and Locke Miller's apartment deprived the jury of important information. The role of Dave Warner in the alleged malicious prosecution comes from his failure to turn over a report on an inconclusive polygraph of a second potential suspect, Beeman's lawyers argue. Statements by Frank Zayas, Friesmeier's supervisor at the time, point to reservations he held about the strength of the case against Beeman after it was forwarded to the state for prosecution. "I think we needed to work on it some more," according to Zayas's quote made during his deposition in Beeman's federal case and included in the Supreme Court brief. Beeman's Supreme Court review also has the support of the Innocence Network, a group of 64 organizations that provide free legal assistance to defendants with innocence claims. "Governor believes David Duke is a racist," Associated Press, Chicago. After fumbling the answer to a question about whether a former Ku Klux Klan leader is a racist, the campaign of Republican Bruce Rauner on Tuesday clarified the governor's opinion of David Duke. During a radio interview on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, Rauner was asked if President Donald Trump was racist following reports he used vulgar language to refer to African nations. Trump allegedly also questioned why America would want to accept more immigrants from Haiti. Rauner repeatedly declined to directly answer, saying that language has no place in our political conversation. When WVON AM host Charles Thomas on Monday asked if Duke is a racist, Rauner would only respond, "We have racism in our society. We have got to come together to change our system," Rauner said. On Tuesday, Rauner campaign spokesman Justin Giorgio sought to clarify those comments. In a statement, he said Rauner believes that David Duke is a racist. Democrats were quick to seize on what they characterized as Rauner's attempt to mince words. Instead of having a spine and standing up for what's right, Rauner dodges even the most basic of questions to avoid giving Illinoisans the answers they deserve, said Gordon Abudaya, spokeswoman for Democratic Governor hopeful J.B. Pritzker. Also on Tuesday, Duke spoke about Rauner's initial failure to call him a racist. Probably at some point, he's heard about David Duke, and deep down in his soul, something's happened inside of him, and he knows that I am not really a racist, in the sense that I want to oppress and oppose other people, Duke told the Chicago Tribune. Senator Kwame Raoul, a Chicago Democrat running for Attorney General, cited King when he noted Rauner's failure to call Duke a racist. Martin Luther King Jr. taught us that our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And Bruce Rauner's inability to clearly state that David Duke is a racist is pretty damning, said Raoul, the son of Haitian immigrants. Briefs, Herald and Review, Staff, and News Service. Jacksonville, Missouri driver killed in crash. The Illinois State Police said a Springfield, Missouri man was killed Wednesday morning in a crash on Interstate 72, a mile and a half east of Exit 104 near Jacksonville in Morgan County. Police said the 61-year-old man was driving east on I-72 at 7:42 a.m. when, for an unknown reason, his truck with a box trailer crossed the center median and traveled across both westbound lanes. The truck continued through a tree line and fence before coming to rest in a field on the north side of I-72. The driver was pronounced dead at the scene by the Morgan County Coroner's Office. Police said he was wearing a seatbelt. His name was being withheld pending notification of family. Springfield. Second case of O'Hare measles confirmed. Illinois public health officials are reporting a second case of measles in a person who was at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Wednesday said this case is unrelated to a case reported last week at the airport. The department said there isn't a measles outbreak at O'Hare. Officials say the individual with the second confirmed case was at the airport January 9th. Authorities say local health departments are contacting those thought to be most at risk, including passengers on the inbound flight to Chicago. The person also was at locations in Evanston, Skokie, and Park Ridge in the following days. Experts say measles is easily spread through the air when someone coughs or sneezes. They say those who think they've been exposed should contact their health care provider. Champaign. University still has vacant seat. The University of Illinois Board of Trustees has had an empty seat unfilled for about a year now. The Champaign News Gazette reported that the board is preparing to elect new officers Thursday in Chicago, but Governor Bruce Rauner has yet to choose an appointee for the ninth statewide seat vacated last January. A Rauner spokeswoman said Tuesday, the administration is still considering candidates. Three members' terms expired last January. Rauner has appointed a Democrat and a Republican to fill two of those seats. The board currently has four Republicans, two Democrats, and two independents. State law allows up to five of the nine trustees to be from the same political party. The board has been able to approve budgets, hire administrators, and conduct other matters despite the vacancy. Our View. Those responsible in Palmer case owe explanations. By Herald and Review Editorial Board. There is only a small sliver of solace in the U.S. Navy charging five officers with being responsible for two catastrophic ship crashes that left 17 sailors dead, including one from Harristown. For those who loved Logan Palmer, it won't bring him back. 23. Baptized at Northwest Christian School, Eagle Scout Troop 43, Sangamon Valley High School, Class of 2012, son of Sid and Teresa, brother to Madison, Austin, and Caleb, U.S. Navy, Petty Officer, 2nd Class. Palmer was on board the USS John S. McCain in the South China Sea on August 21st, when the warship collided with an oil tanker. He was one of the 10 lives cut short. A few months earlier, seven were killed when the USS Fitzgerald came in contact with another ship. 7 sailors died that time. 17 Americans serving under our flag dead. Funerals followed, as did Senate hearings, firings of Navy brass, and finger-pointing about budget constraints, fatigue, and limited resources. Investigators said the incidents were avoidable. In the case of the McCain, it resulted primarily from complacency, overconfidence, and lack of procedural compliance, according to a 72-page Navy report. A major contributing factor to the collision was substandard level of knowledge regarding the operation of the ship control console. The charges filed Tuesday against Commander Alfredo J. Sanchez are dereliction of duty, endangering a ship, and negligent homicide, which could result in a court-martial. A petty officer also was charged with dereliction of duty. These military members deserve their day in court. We look forward to them explaining how this all came to be. Those who loved Logan Palmer deserve answers. Quarterback depth chart shrinking. George Jr. Crouch announced their leaving program. By Mark Tupper, Herald and Review Executive Sports Editor. Champaign. Quarterbacks Jeff George Jr. and Chase Crouch, who started 10 of the 12 University of Illinois football games last season, will no longer be with the program. George Jr. said Wednesday he will transfer and have 2 years of eligibility elsewhere. Crouch said he will no longer play football rather than transfer to another program. With Illinois' apparent commitment to dual-threat quarterbacks, neither decision is a surprise. George is the son of former Illini quarterback great Jeff George Sr., who became the first overall pick in the 1990 National Football League draft. Each player posted an announcement Wednesday on Twitter. "The University of Illinois will always be a special place for me," George said. "Thank you to Coach Smith and the entire staff for helping me develop over the past couple years. With that being said, after discussions with Coach Smith and my family, it would be in my best interest to pursue my athletic career with 2 years of eligibility left at a school that will best utilize the abilities I have to offer." Crouch said, "I have decided to hang up my cleats and end my career as a Fighting Illini." This leaves the Illini with no proven depth at the quarterback position. Cam Thomas, who started 2 games as a freshman, returns and is the front runner to win the starting job. Freshman M.J. Rivers from Texas is expected to compete for playing time. Corin Taylor, a quarterback from Peoria, verbally committed to the Illini and may sign in February, although there are still unanswered questions about his academic work. This continues a trend this offseason of players who were recruited by past head coaches Tim Beckman or Bill Cubitt leaving if they felt they were being passed over. There are exceptions, including offensive lineman Nick Allegretti and wide receiver Mike Dudek. Coach Lovie Smith has still not announced the hiring of a new offensive coordinator, a new cornerbacks coach, or a 10th assistant coach, as is now allowed by the NCAA. Previously, Smith fired offensive coordinator Garrick McGee and cornerbacks coach Paul Williams. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Please stay tuned.